of Rome and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on RIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "The Lord Most High has chosen for us certain followers, Shiites, who assist us. If we are joyful, they are joyful. And if we are sorrowful and sad, they are sorrowful and sad."
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The atmosphere for the Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wa salam, in Samarra was very precarious because of this, you know, restrictions put on them. More so because, remember, Banu Abbas are branch of Banu Hashim. There is this difference between Banu Umayyah, which is completely different. But when you look at Banu Abbas, they are part of the Banu Hashim. You know, there were three brothers, Abdullah, the father's, the prophet's father, Abu Talib, Amir al-Mu'minin's father, and then Abbas. Abbas, they are all three brothers. Abbas is the ancestor of Banu Abbas. Although Abbas had nothing to do with what the descendants did later on, but this shows they were all part of this Banu Hashim clan. And this is their, this is where we come to realize that they were very much familiar with some of the predictions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made about his descendants. They were very, very well familiar with the idea of Al-Mahdi. They also had, you know, pretty good idea about the timing of the birth of the last Savior. And this is where you see this insistence on them to bring the imams, the letter imams, closer to themselves. You know, whether it's in Qazimain you see in Baghdad, or you are talking about the situation in Samarra, so that they can keep an eye on them. Just as Fir'aun, according to the information given to him by the scholars of the time, that, you know, the person who is going to destroy your kingdom is going to be born now. And we know what he did with Bani Israel at that time. Similar situation was there during the days of Mutawakkil and later on in Samarra. And this is where we see that, you know, restrictions are there. Even the 11th Imam, during his short time of Imamat, there was a time where he was required to make his presence, you know, in the court of the minister or the Khalifa once a week, just to make sure he's in town. Not only that, it was a way of even humiliating the Imam. And that was actually one of those days where those who wanted to see him or try to get close to him, or at least they can have a word with him, would be on that day when he is supposed to go to the court of the Khalifa or the minister of the time. And so the challenges were there. You know, we're talking about the era of Ghaybat coming very close now. And the problem was not only from outsiders. Unfortunately, they were even from insiders also. And we shouldn't be surprised. We're talking about Ismat is only for the Imams. They are Masoom. Doesn't mean that everyone else there is also Masoom. You know, one of the challenges that especially our 11th Imam faced was from his own brother by the name of Ja'far bin Ali al-Taqi al-Hadi. Ja'far is a younger brother of Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. And he had this aspiration, you know, idea of becoming the leader of the Shias. And he knew he is not. He doesn't have any legitimacy on this issue of becoming an imam. And yet he is trying. He gets closer to the Khalifa of the time, Mu'tamid Billah, the Abbasid Khalifa of the 11th Imam's time, his imamat. And he's trying to get support from them in order to project himself as the imam of the Shias. There is one conversation very interesting will show you the challenge that the imam faced from inside, as well as the greatness of the imam preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day Ja'far bin Ali al-Hadi goes to Mu'tamid Billah and he says, you know, why don't you declare and appoint me as the imam of the Shias after my brother? So he knows it cannot be that, you know, Imam Hassan Askari is to be replaced. He's saying, okay, let him be, but why doesn't the government make an announcement that I will be the next imam? Even a mu'tamid, an enemy like Mu'tamid Billah, realize this is a very outrageous, you know, a plan that he's talking about. And he put him down. Look at the words he says. He says, اعلم إن منزلة أخيك لم تكن بنا. He says to Ja'far, you should know that the status of your brother is not because of us. We didn't make him the imam. وإنما كانت بالله عز وجل. That the status that your brother Hassan al-Askari has, this is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that we made him the imam. وَكُنَّا نَجْتَهِدْ فِي حَتِّ مَنْزِلَتِهِ وَالْوَعْظُ مِنْهُ. And we tried everything to bring his status down, to put him down. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ يَعْبَى إِلَّا أَنْ يَزِيدُهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ رِفْعَةً بِمَا كَانَ فِيهِ. He says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decided that he is going to elevate the status of your brother every day. So even an enemy, you know, like Mu'tamid Billah, realizes that this is not in our hand. You know, you're asking me to make you the imam. He says, no, this your brother has that status. It is elevated every day more by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bima fihi min as-siyana wa husn as-samt wal-'ilm wal-'ibada. It's because of his purity in character, because he is in the right direction, because of the knowledge that he has been blessed with, and because of his ibadat and the acts of worship that he does. Of course, such people are going to be at the even more deeper trouble on the day of Qiyamah. If you know all this about him, why don't you just follow him? You know, he's talking about the status of the imam which has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says further, he says to Ja'far, إِن كُنْتَ عِنْدَ الشِّيْعَةِ أَخِيكَ بِمَنْزِلَتِهِ فَلَا هَاجَتَ بِكَ إِلَيْنَا. If you really have this potential and qualities and status in the eyes of the Shia community, then you don't need me. People wouldn't accept you. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيكَ مَا كَانَ فِي أَخِيكَ. And if you don't have the qualities and the status that your brother has among the community, لَمْ يَغْنِ عَنْكَ فِي ذَلِكَ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is going to help you in this plan that you have.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Iranian women, pioneers in holy defense. The sacred religion of Islam highly honors and values women and urges women to be involved in the determination of their fate like any other human being. It is said that women grant meaning to life with the different roles they play. Experts strongly believe that the presence of highly capable and knowledgeable women in families leads to appropriate upbringing of children, transforming children into self-made individuals. Moreover, women who take part in the community's affairs further contribute to important and effective decision-makings. The most important point about women's social activities is that the participation of them in social affairs should not lead to their degradation. One of the aspects of participation of women is their presence in the defense and military scenes. Within the history of Islam and the world, and throughout Iran's contemporary history, there are ample examples of presence and participation of women in wars and battles. Women have shown that the community as a whole needs the energy and capacity of all members of the community. Hence, women have attended the war fronts and battlefields, creating and registering legendary resistance and courage. Although, according to history, women combatants have been less in numbers in comparison to male combatants, The important fact is that throughout the defense of a nation against enemy troops, the presence of men in the battlefields has not been the only factor which has secured victory. In fact, supporting male troopers, encouraging men to continuously attend war fronts, nursing the injured and treating wounds, and protection of the bastions behind the war fronts directly influences the morale of the combatants and even plays a decisive role in the fate of battles. Women have had a pioneering role in Iran's Islamic Revolution and have considered the participation of women in social activities within the advent of Islam as a role model for themselves. Women maintained important responsibilities in the 8 years' sacred defense, registering a fateful presence in the history of Islamic Revolution. The main defender of women in the advent of Islam was the venerable daughter of Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Hazrat Fatima, in the company of a group of women, took part in Uhud battle. The venerable daughter of the Prophet of Islam and 14 other women were responsible for providing food and water and tending the wounded in that battle while taking care of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and the first infallible Imam of the Prophet of Islam's household, Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Throughout the Iraqi-imposed war on Iran, the defense conditions of Iran's Islamic community did not make it possible for women to directly take part in the battlefields. However, the sudden rise of Saddam's troops, especially in the early days of the imposed war to frontiers, in addition to aerial bombardment and missile attacks targeting Iranian cities, led to the direct confrontation of women with the enemy forces, boosting their morale and motivation for combat and defense. Thus, Women's Basiji Mobilization Force and its military and combat branch gradually took shape. In the early days of the imposed war, women pioneered, selflessly defending the sacred religion of Islam, the Islamic Revolution, and their beloved country in the southern Iranian cities such as Khorramshahr, Abadan, Ahvaz, and Susangerd. While the enemy troops were intent on raiding the port city of Khorramshahr and the residents gradually evacuated the city, the women Basiji forces prevented the immigration of their families while safeguarding the ammunition forces and delivering them to the Islamic combatants. Meanwhile, the headquarters of a number of these courageous women was the Jame Mosque of Khorramshahr. Within the Haji Shah family, the daughter of this family pioneered for the war fronts. In the early days of the imposed war, Shahnaz receives military training, takes up arms, makes a bastion, and also helps the wounded, while ultimately attaining martyrdom in a mortar attack. Following her martyrdom, her brothers attend the battlefields, courting martyrdom one after the other. Zahra Husseini was a 17-year-old girl throughout the Iraqi imposed war. When it was announced that the bodies of some of the martyrs have been taken to the cemetery, she rushed toward there, taking part in the ritual washing of the bodies of martyrs and their burial. She delivered food to the personnel of the cemetery, was trained for relief and rescue missions and took part in a number of activities such as relief operations, carrying the wounded, repairing and preparing weapons, cooking and distributing goods. Her sole goal was to serve people. Her father and brother were martyred in defending the port city of Khorramshahr. She was also wounded in the battle, and a shrapnel hit her spinal cord. She has endured the side effects of this injury ever since. Her story has been cited in a book, which has been published several times, drawing the admiration of readers for the selfless and devoted activities of this courageous female combatant of the Sacred Defense era. Women took part in defending and safeguarding the values and ideals of the Islamic Revolution, contributing to the steadfastness against the foes. The founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, late Imam Khomeini, may his soul rest in peace, was further resolved to continue the sacred defense upon observing the steadfastness and initiative of Iranian women in the scene of defense. The fact of the matter is that during the Sacred Defense era, Iranian women displayed the identity of vigilant Muslim women who have taken part in a holy and meaningful defense. In addition to the presence of women in the war fronts, they also carried out a wide range of relief operations in order to support the courageous Iranian combatants. Throughout the imposed war, women handed over their jewelries and precious belongings to war fronts. Participation in political and social cultural activities and showing the glorious presence of women in the 8-year sacred defense. In this manner, Iranian women created the eternal epic of victory of the Islamic Iran. After 8 years of sacred defense in the company of courageous and resilient Iranian combatants.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of intizar, or awaiting the reappearance of Imam As after the major occultation. What are the main characteristics of intizar, or the waiting period for a person who calls himself as a waiter of Imam As? Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you, brother. What are the main characteristics of the concept of intizar?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we say intizar, or waiting for the Imam of the time, it means that we are preparing ourselves to welcome him, number one. Number two, that when he comes and he sees us, he becomes happy from us.
Okay.
Let me just give an example to make the concept clear. And the example is, for example, you know, when we invite some guest, or maybe someone calls us that I'm coming to visit you, what do we do generally? First of all, we put good clothes on.
Yes.
We clean the house.
Yes.
We make food ready. You know, we make everything ready for hosting him, for example. Similarly, when we say about the imam, you know, when we are talking about the imam, we are talking about the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the people. We are talking about someone who will come and who will bring the true Islam and who will, you know, who will spread the justice in the society. Therefore, we must get ready accordingly. For example, if he is the imam of Muslimin and he is the representative of the Prophet and the authority, first of all, we need to look at our own deeds.
Yes.
Is my deeds according to what imam wants us to be or not? Number two, is my house or the environment that I have surrounding me in the house or outside or in the society, is it in accordance with the teachings of Ahlul Bayt or not? Number three, am I ready to face him? You know, because when he's there, will he be happy to see me or will he be angry upon me when he sees me? You know, this is very important because some of our teachers, they used to say that, you know, in some narrations we have this, that some Muslims, when they go to the paradise, for example, or on the Day of Judgment, when everyone will be gathered on the resurrection day, Prophet will feel shy by looking at some people, some of the people of the Muslim nation. Why? The reason is because the people of, some of the people of the nations of, for example, Prophet Moses or Nuh or other prophets, they are better than these Muslims. And Prophet will feel ashamed of them, of these people. Why? My nation is not better than them when he is the best and the leader of the of all the prophets.
Okay.
And in the narrations we have this, that the Muslims should be better than the others. So we have all these things. Therefore, this also applies at the time of the imam, because when imam is coming and he's fulfilling the earth with the justice, and he will bring this justice and the, you know, the Islam will be spread. Therefore, we should be in a way that we are, we have some similarity.
That's right.
Maybe it is apparent similarity and not the hidden. But although the apparent is also important, that we save the appearance somehow.
That's right. Okay. Amir, just praying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the reappearance of Imam As is not enough. It needs some certain practices. We'll get to the practices. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, what is the exact meaning of intizar?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Intizar means waiting for something that is going to happen. You know, very simply if you explain that. But when it comes to the holy imam, Imam al-Asr arwahun al-Fida, that someone is waiting or awaiting the reappearance of the imam, it means that a muntazir, a person who is waiting for the imam, he must be ready every moment that there might be a call from the imam's side upon him.
Okay.
That come and help me. You know, a muntazir is the person who is ready in each and every moment of his life. Always he's ready. Because the reappearance of the imam is unknown.
That's right.
No one knows that when exactly the imam will reappear. So it might happen and each and every moment it is possible.
Yes.
So that's why a true muntazir, a true mu'min, a true believer is the one who must be ready, who must be ready to join the imam, to help the imam. And this is the first characteristic of the person who is waiting for the imam. The second characteristic of a person who is waiting for the imam is this, that he, considering the imam as the one who is very much close to him, and imam is, let's say, observing him, observing whatever he did, whatever he do, the good deeds or the bad deeds are being observed, being witnessed by the imam.
Yes.
So this is the true muntazir, that he must consider his life in a way that it is being observed by the imam. So he must be very much careful, very much cautious. For example, this person, when he has a wedding ceremony, for example, in that wedding ceremony, he must think that, okay, can my imam attend this gathering or not?
Or a party, for example.
So for a true muntazir, a man who is really awaiting the imam should live in this way. That, for example, when, for example, there is a majlis, a gathering with his friends, with his relatives, He should think of this, that if my imam, my mawla, my master, wanted to attend this meeting and this gathering, can imam attend? Because Imam al-Zaman, he is ghaib, but in a way that he observes. In yes, our narrations, right, in our riwayat, we see that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam observes whatever we do in each and every moment of life. So because of this, for example, particularly when it comes to the ladies,
yes,
the ladies must be very much cautious, yes, very much careful that how do they live, what kind of lifestyle they adopt in their lives.
That's right.
Because Imam is observing.
Okay.
And also for youth, particularly for the youth, for the young generation, if they are really waiting for the Imam, what kind of lifestyle they have? You know, are they really ready? Are they really waiting for the Imam? Because the person, for example, you love someone and you're waiting him. So how do you wait him? In what way? In what kind of style?
Yes.
In what kind of mood, we can say, you know? In a way that you see that when the person that I love him, the beloved one,
yes,
when he sees me, he must be pleasant. He must be satisfied.
Very good.
He must be, let's say, what we can say, satisfied with the way, for example, I have my appearance,
yes,
my, let's say, moods, my temper, whatever, my manners, I mean. So this is the thing that we should always must think about it, that, okay, if we are waiting the imam, suppose that imam is going to reappear.
Yes.
Yeah? So are you living in a way that imam will accept you?
Very good.
Or can imam allow you to join him?
Very good.
Yeah? So if you are living in a way, your lifestyle is in a way that imam will allow you to join him.
Yes.
Or imam will accept you. Or imam can join you in your gatherings, in your meetings, with your friends, with your relatives. So in that case, you are a true, let's say, waiter for the imam, or a waiter of the imam, alayhi salatu
wasalam.
Otherwise, it's just a claim.
Just a claim, that's right. And we have so many claimants. They call themselves muntazir of imam as nowadays, by mere saying, for example, I'm waiting the reappearance of imam. But do we have any, for example, in our Islamic textbooks or narrations or ahadith, do we have any special recommendations for the awaiters, true awaiters of imam as? What are they? I mean, the practical guidelines that should be taken into account.
Well, obviously, when we look at the ahadith, there are a couple of ahadith, different types of ahadith. First of all, about the imam himself. We can be a true waiter of imam if we really know him, that who is he. In the ahadith, we have that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming back from the Mi'raj, and there he saw, you know, 12 lights, and he asked about one of the most shining, you know, lights. It was replied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is al-qa'im, huwa al-qa'im, muhallilu halali wa muharrimu harami. He is the qa'im, means the Imam Mahdi, the one who will raise, and he will make my halal back halal and my haram back to haram. Which means that at the time of the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he will have the reappearance, there are many things in the Islam which are being changed. For example, we can see our banking system, the riba, you know, this is haram. The people are giving the rishwa, or like, you know,
Bribery.
Yes. They're involved in the bribery. The, you know, backbiting is so much in the society.
Yes.
There are many things, you know, even, you know, we are looking at people's private lives, how they're living,
yes,
and all those things. So there are many things that are considered as haram.
Yes.
Especially at the social aspect, that at the social aspect in the society, there are many things which are haram, which is considered as halal in today's world. And imam will come and he will turn back everything to the original state, which was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes.
Now, even for this, this is one of the narrations. The second step, when we know about the imam, that this is the imam, the first step is we must know about halal and haram. You know, when you're doing a taqleed, you must read the book of the mushtahid or marja, which you are, you know, following, to know the haram and halal at least.
Yes.
If you cannot read the whole Quran, at least you must know about halal and haram. And this is the first step to purify yourself. Obviously, you know, the reason why Allah has raised the prophets, the Quran says, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ.
Yes.
First, they need to read the ayat, the verses of the Quran.
Yes.
When they read the verses of Quran, they know about halal and haram.
وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ,
the second step. When they know, now they need to purify themselves. When they purify themselves, وَيُعَلِّمْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, This is also for our students as well, that if you want to gain a knowledge, you know, generally we gain the knowledge, we go to the university in order to have good earnings, yes. in order to have a good job.
Yes.
We select our specialization, which gives more money, or maybe like it's in the eyes of people. We never go to study for tazkiyah. We never study to become a good human being,
okay.
to be a productive person in the society.
Yes.
So these are the things that we need to be. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we have the narrations as well that a Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib is a person who is the most knowledgeable person, who is the most yes. pious. You know, these are the things yes. that we have. Are we like that or not?
Mm-hmm.
In the city where we live or the society where we are, how people know about us?
Yes.
You know, what kind of introduction when someone asks about us, they give?
Uh-huh.
Are they telling that?
What are we known by?
Yes. What yes. are we known by?
Yes.
This is important as well okay. because, you know, there is a Irfani discussion
yes.
in the mysticism that a person who purely performs his halal and haram, mm-hmm. he knows all of that. The very first thing which will be given to him, the status, is that he can do tayul arz.
Mm-hmm.
He can travel, you know, fast on the earth
yes.
or without, you know, using
vehicles.
Any means. The reason they say is that at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he will have reappearance, these people will be the one who will be the first people who will reach to Imam al-Asr alayhi salam.
Yes.
It's because of their action, their deeds, mm-hmm. their, you know, personality, their character. So have we reached to this level or not? Obviously, there are other things as well where Imam, obviously, he will call people. There are other narrations. We're not going to go towards that. But we're talking about the basic things at the moment.
Yes.
That when we look at the narrations, there are different narrations, the different things that emphasizes on self-building, self-reformation.
Yes.
And this is very important that, you know, when we do not have the self-reformation, and if we are not living a true Islamic lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
then obviously we cannot be with the Imam. One of the reasons that Imam is still in the occultation is because of our deeds.
That's right.
Our deeds are not in a way that he reappears today and we all will be with him.
That's right. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Nawawi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of intizar, the meaning of intizar. And we hope that we are among the most practical awaiters of Imam As through our actions. Waiting and awaiting Imam As is not just merely talking or worshipping or praying for Imam As. We have to practice, and some recommendations according to what Sayyid Mohsen said are given according to Islamic teachings to us. May Allah consider us among the true awaiters of Imam As, inshallah. And may Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam As, inshallah. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, We Your Points. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to the program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the previous episode, we talked about how Quran has a balanced approach in describing and defining mankind. That the definition that Quran presents for humanity has both negative and positive aspects. And also, Quran talks about the possibilities and the virtues that a given human being can achieve in his life. Now, we said that sometimes people have emotional swings. Sometimes they are too happy about something. When somebody starts praising you, you become so happy that you lose grasp of what's going on. And sometimes the opposite. When a person honestly starts to criticize me, I get so upset that I don't know how to react and I just don't have a correct grasp of what is going on. Now, the same true with the descriptions of mankind in the Holy Quran, that sometimes some people focus a lot on the positive aspects to the extent that they forget their responsibility. And the opposite is that some people who lose hope and they fall into disappointment, al-ya's, the concept that is associated with kufr even in the Holy Quran, only disbelievers are disappointed from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, also these emotional swings in Quran have been referred to in different verses, that when man is happy, he acts as if nothing is important. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ. When we give blessings to man, he goes away and he doesn't care about anything. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرْ فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيضٍ مَثَلًا. for example, that when something, difficulty befalls him, then he starts praying and paying attention. Or, for example, in other verses, Quran says when they have problems, they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they ask for help. And when that problem is taken away from them, they totally forget about their previous predicament. So this is the situation that normally we have, and we have to work on it in order to arrive at that balance approach of understanding ourselves in the Holy Quran and the journey that Quran has for us. Now, some of the principles that Quran lays down for the plan for the perfection of humanity, some of the principles that we should first agree on and then start the plan and that perfection is as follows. One of them is that we should accept the free will. We should accept that we are responsible for our actions, and we are free to choose between right and wrong. Some people deny that, either directly or indirectly. They somehow believe that what they do is not their responsibility. They start projection. They project their decisions and their mistakes upon everything, upon their surroundings, their people around them. I don't know, the history, geography, everything else is responsible, but they are not responsible. Quran talks about the reality of mankind in the sense of their responsibility for their action and the concept of ikhtiyar, volition, free will. The fact that we have maybe limited, but for sure we have free will, and this free will is very important in our moral accountability. We go for a break and we come back to cover the verses that talk about human free will to some extent.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to the program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the verses of the Holy Quran that talk about free will. And for example, one verse in Surah Insan, verse 3, that says, "Inna hadaynahu sabil imma shakran wa imma kafura." We have guided, we have given guidance to mankind. It is up to him whether he shows gratitude or he displays ingratitude and kufr, disbelief. So this is up to people to decide. Or the other verse that says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَغْوَاهَا. When we created human soul, we placed within human soul the elements necessary for fujur, committing sins, and taqwa, observing piety. So these elements have already been placed in every soul, and it is up to a given man or woman to decide which one and which direction she or he wants to go. So this is a situation we should accept. As I said, some people even reject that situation, and Quran also talks about people who would blame their fathers because of the mistakes they committed or they made. إِنَّمَا أَشْرَكَ أَبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. You know why we have become polytheist? Why we have become pagans? It's only because our fathers were like this. Well, Quran does not take that as an acceptable excuse for your actions and your ideology in life. You had been given a mind, a brain to think and to ponder, and also you had been given power to choose between right and wrong. So yes, there are always possibilities, less and more possibilities for different people. But at the end of the day, in the court of law, these are not acceptable from people to say, yes, it was more possible for me. At the end of the day, it was you who decided to go this direction or that direction. So these are not acceptable to have a habit of projection, to project your mistakes upon others. And based on this free will, based on this principle of moral accountability, that is a necessity for human life. Even a social structure cannot continue functioning without this level of social accountability and moral accountability. If everyone wants to say, okay, it was not me, it was the situation, it doesn't work. So this level of moral accountability has another result, that on the day of judgment, people are going to encounter their own actions and nothing more. هَلْ تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْسِبُونَ Have you been given anything more than what you have done? So meaning that whatever that people are experiencing on the day of judgment is nothing but the actions that they displayed in their lives. Or the verse that says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Anyone who has done anything, even like the atom weight of good or bad, is going to see that. So these are very important consequences of that moral accountability. And the first step for first principle of a human perfection is to accept that volition and free will, and be committed to that morally. Inshallah, in the following episode, we try to cover some of the verses that talk about some of the consequences of these volition and free will in human being, and the uniqueness of the role that it has to play in the journey of mankind. Thank you very much. Have a good time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
In the limelight.
Experts say the U.S. elections is at the risk of political violence as guns and distrust in democracy spread in the country. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Common Dreams wrote, a report released recently highlights how state laws across the U.S. fail to protect voters and election workers from the growing risk of gun violence tied to increasing firearm deregulation and sales, as well as American political leaders fomenting distrust in democracy. The 2024 election will unfold in a transformed legal environment, warns Guns and Voting, the new report from the Brennan Center for Justice and New York University School of Law and Giffords, a gun violence prevention group funded by former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who survived being shot in the head. The publication explains that in 2010, only two states let people carry concealed firearms in public without a permit or background check. Now, 27 states allow permitless carry. While other states have strengthened gun regulations during this period, the Supreme Court has threatened their ability to do so. Last year in New York State, Rifle and Pistol Association Incorporation, the court forced the six states to strongest concealed carry laws, as well as Washington, D.C., to weaken their restrictions, the document details, adding, and it announced an entirely new test for evaluating the constitutionality of gun regulations, inviting a wave of litigation. In the states impacted by the right-wing justice majority opinion, which critics have denounced as devastating, applications to carry guns in public climbed after the ruling, and there have been over 450 related court decisions issued since June 2022. U.S. gun sales and violence have also soared in recent years, as more than 42 million guns were sold in 2020 and 2021. There was a 15% jump in gun-related incidents, a 34% rise in non-fatal gun injuries, and a 28% increase in gun deaths from March 1, 2020 and February 28, 2021. The report notes, meanwhile, American democracy has been facing new and unnerving pressure as a result of a growing election denial movement. In 2020, states expanded voting by mail and early voting due to the coronavirus pandemic. Endeavoring to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election, then-President Donald Trump and his allies launched massive disinformation campaigns targeting this expanded access to voting, claiming that the election was rigged and that election administration officials were engaged in fraud. This election denial movement has spread beyond Trump and reached into state and local elections, fueled by conspiracy theories about mail voting, drop boxes, election officials, poll workers, and ballot counting. The report continued, from its inception, threats of political violence marked this movement. The most prominent example, of course, was the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Now Trump is the top Republican presidential candidate for 2024, despite arguments that inciting the January 6th insurrection constitutionally disqualifies him from holding office again. Trump also faces four ongoing criminal cases, two of which are connected to his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. The GOP nominee is expected to face Democratic President Joe Biden, who is seeking re-election next year. While Biden has taken some limited executive action on guns and signed a bipartisan safety bill last year, Democrats' efforts to pass sweeping federal gun control and voting rights legislation have been thwarted by congressional Republicans. The new report argues, with more guns and more political polarization and violence, states need strong laws to limit risk. In Bruin, the Supreme Court recognized that prohibitions on guns in sensitive places and specifically in polling places were presumptively lawful. Yet today, only 12 states and Washington, D.C. prohibit both open and concealed carry of firearms at poll sites. The publication warns, ironically, the states with the strongest gun regulations, which had restricted the ability to carry guns in public generally, rather than prohibiting guns in particular locations, were made most vulnerable in the wake of Bruin. In fact, only one of the six states that had their laws struck down by the decision specifically prohibited guns in polling places at the time of the decision. After laying out in detail the recent changes in U.S. gun control legislation, how this information has sown the seeds of political violence and increases in extremism and gun violence, including mass shootings, the report offers policy recommendations. The document asserts states should broadly prohibit firearms, including concealed carry, at and around all voting sites, including drop boxes and places where votes are being counted and elections are being administered. In addition to prohibiting guns wherever protected voting or election activity